Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'at Hotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, it's always wonderful to be with you, to be able to share information, and certainly to provide what we hope is an abundance of inspiration and motivation, certainly for liberation. This, of course, is Women's History Month, as many do observe it. And yesterday was, of course, International Women's Day. And with that, we prepared a release specifically to begin to move forward with the initiatives that the Million Women Movement has now launched and will be launching in full force as we approach October. But, of course, before I give you some insight into that, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator and are always very, very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. And with that said, we're going to move right on into our program for tonight. Again, this being Women's History Month, we feel that it's important and, just necessary to make certain that we give special tributes to our women, not just in today's history or certainly not just in contemporary history, but, African women from antiquity to present day is how we observe Women's History Month, and we make certain that we share and pass on information that sometimes may not be as well known. For example, recently I had the opportunity to dialogue with a brother who really helped to motivate me further as he was doing research on black women, African women in the U.S. that had been executed. And it just so happened that he knew that that was an area of interest for me. And as a result, he kind of brought to my attention some executions that I was not even aware of that occurred in this country. Of course, I was familiar with the one here in Philadelphia, with a sister by the name of Corrine Sykes. I believe that happened maybe in 1954-ish. But she was accused of killing a white man that she, I think, worked for. At any rate, of course, it was found that later she really did not do that. But, it's good to be able to look at some of the documentation of what happened to our women, in this system. And certainly it's still going on, we're going to talk a little more about that as we proceed in the month to really focus on many of the hangings that occurred in this country of our women. Oftentimes when you think of hangings, lynchings, you think, of course, of our brothers, and certainly there were many who were, in fact, hung, lynched. But I dare say and need to say there were many women that were also lynched. We have begun to document some of those stories as well. And I can tell you it just demonstrates further if in case you weren't convinced. I mean, when you read some of the stories of what some of these people did to our people, it just boggles the mind how demonic, a group of people can be. And I say that, unfortunately, I have to make it in reference or have it applied in that kind of way, a group of people, because from a historical perspective, that particular group of folk known as the European or the Anglo-Saxon or what have you, they just have this history of, specific types of heinous and just incredible things that they have done to people. So, needless to say, again, we want to focus more on this month being a month of recognition for our sisters. And so, with that said, we're calling it Miraculous, Marvelous March. Okay, moving right along. Tonight we're going to again put a little more focus on some of our women who have made contributions, including that of Fannie Lou Hamer and Ella Baker. For those who are not familiar with these two dynamite sisters, well, believe me, when you think about Al-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, or when you think about particularly Brother Kwame Ture, a.k.a. Stokely Carmichael, then you certainly will think of, or at least should know, about Fannie Lou Hamer. So, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about Fannie Lou Hamer tonight and Sister Ella Baker and a few others. We're going to talk also with the sister who, as far as I'm concerned, continues the tradition of some of our very strong women here in the U.S. We're going to talk to two women, actually. One, of course, is the Queen Mother, known in Harlem, also as the community mayor of Harlem, Queen Mother Dr. Dolores Blakely, of course, who was more than 30 years with Queen Mother Moore. And again, that's another name, another strong sister that we always should remember because, you know, when it comes to reparations, I mean, you just cannot say the word reparations and not think of Queen Mother Moore. And so, again, we're going to talk a little bit about her tonight as well. When we talk to Queen Mother Dr. Dolores Blakely, who will be talking with us about an upcoming program activity that will be taking place as a side activity for the UN or at the UN coming up this Wednesday, I believe. Of course, every year, I think it's like the 54th year at the United Nations, they do a commission, a kind of 2-week session for and about women. From A to Z, you know, economics, education. Well, you, of course, surely know, if you've listened to this program, you surely know that my particular area of interest and of advocacy and so forth is that of violations of our women and girls. And certainly on an international level, wow, when you, you know, think about to what extent it is really occurring on an international level, I mean, it is just unbelievable because rape, as it said, is an act of war. It is a very much connected to war. And this is why here in the U.S. it behooves us to think about rape now in that context, that war is being declared on us additionally, or shall we say in another way now, by way of rape and molestation and exploitation of our women and girls, the increase of rape in particular and murder of African women in the U.S. on a national level is off the hook. And so this is something that the Men and Women Movement is very much committed to now to make certain that our people are a lot more aware of this happening and that we are taking the position that we are going to really fight this in a way that has not been demonstrated, at least not in contemporary times. There's been a civil rights movement, there's been an anti-war movement, there's been a women's liberation movement, which, of course, was really about white women. There's been, you know, all kinds of movements, but never has there been anything specifically for the original woman, the mother of civilization, the African woman. And so this is something that we're going to make sure does indeed happen and something that we are making happen. And, again, one of the priorities at this particular point in time is to deal with the violations of our women and girls here in the U.S. and, of course, worldwide. But first things first. So we're going to talk about that in the National Campaign for the Elimination of Violence and Abuse of Women and Girls of African Descent, which is a 3 to 5 year program that is specifically designed to reduce the numbers, the incidents, the cases, the victimizations, and so forth of women and girls of African descent. The first 3 years are specifically committed to North America. The bulk of the work will be done here in North America, and then later we will, well, I mean, we will still do work internationally, but the main focal point for this particular time period will be North America. We're going to talk more about that later. And also on our live line tonight, as we do our tribute to President Hugo Chavez and the people of Venezuela, we send them much love, much respect. For those who do not know the very close ties of Venezuela to African people here in the U.S. And also abroad. Well, we're going to talk about that because it's very important that we be very watchful and that we continue to build and develop our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Venezuela. And we certainly here at New Day Resurrection Liberation and with the Mayorga Movement, we certainly intend to do so. I had the opportunity a couple of months ago to meet the ambassador that's in Washington, D.C., and we are looking to have a meeting with him in the next couple of weeks, actually. But the embassy, the government of Venezuela, has already agreed to send a delegation of Afro-Venezuelan sisters to attend our 316 reunion this year. So with that said, we will have a delegation of sisters coming in from Venezuela. We are hoping to have a delegation of sisters coming in or representing Cuba and so forth and so on. Certainly there are several African countries, but the point being, it is so important that as we talk about the Africana woman from a global perspective, that people realize that we are being very inclusive. Any sister, no matter what nationality, no matter what religion, no matter what economic status, we're reaching out to any of our sisters who want to be involved with the Many Women Movement, with the Many Women Sisterhood. And it's about, of course, making certain that the connection, that the thing that helps to bring us together, that kind of creates the bond that we're building to a greater extent, is that we are African, that we come from the same mother, that we appreciate and recognize our heritage. And with that said, these are some of the discussions that we will be having as we approach October, but certainly in October, when we go full force with the commemoration. For those who were not tuned to previous shows, I did announce on February the 28th, and I think I also mentioned it last week for our program, that the Many Women March 316 reunion gathering and the mandala sessions will take place in Washington, D.C. We are looking forward to connecting with our brothers and sisters there in the D.C. area in the next couple of weeks to a greater extent so that they can be, you know, as involved as they care to be in what's getting ready to happen there in D.C. We are looking forward, of course, to connecting with the grassroots communities in particular, certainly the you know, the cultural communities and so forth and sort of spiritual communities. We're really looking at connecting with them within the next couple of weeks. So we'll be telling you more about that very soon as well. With that said, again, going back to the other on a live line guest for tonight, we're going to talk with a sister, as I said, when we get a little more into the tribute that we want to do for President Hugo Chavez. We're going to talk with a sister who is a representative from the AAPRP, and of course that is the All African People's Revolutionary Party. She is, in fact, also part of one of the wings of the AAPRP, which is known as the All African Women's Unit. And we're going to speak with Sister Njiva from Wewat, I believe, I hope pronouncing it correctly. No, I'm pronouncing the first name correctly. Njiva. I love that. But when she comes home, I'm going to ask her what her name means because, you know, all of our names have very, very wonderful meanings and representation. And so I'm not sure what her name means, but before the night is over, we're going to find out. But anyway, Sister is going to talk to us about, of course, some of the work that the APRP has been doing, is doing, and certainly the connection to the APRP to Venezuela, and of course Venezuela to Africans in the U.S. in terms of African liberation, and also how that is applicable to the Pan-African liberation movement worldwide. So that's some of what we're going to talk about tonight, and of course we're going to also give you some updates and information about the Many Women Movement, certainly the upcoming reunion, and we do hope that you will be getting involved. We have a membership drive going on right about now, and it's so very, very important that we obtain your support. We need to obtain your support for many reasons, because with this reunion coming up, and we are looking to do a mass gathering on October the 26th. Now, on October the 26th, that will be hopefully on the mall, a mass gathering in commemoration of not only our anniversary, but the official launching of our international movement in being the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent. We will be issuing our platform, our new agenda, our new upgraded direct action plan, and the 25th, I got to give you that. On the 25th, we're planning to do a major rally in front of the Justice Department. Now, the 25th is, in fact, the actual date for the anniversary of the Million Women March. So that is why we want to, on the 25th, do something that is really representative of what we're really about. And in that, we are making a demand to the Justice Department that they do a proper investigation as it pertains to eugenics. That's right. Eugenics in the form of forced sterilization of our women and girls. Okay, there are cases pending as we speak. And we know that if we do not keep the pressure on them people, they will just push this thing away or just not even deal with it at all, and we will not allow that. We have the evidence. It is quite clear that the United States government was complicit in acts of eugenics, operations of eugenics. And recently we got a report coming out of Israel where, of course, the Israeli government also applied a form of eugenics to the Ethiopian women there. And so we'll be talking about that as we proceed as the month goes on. But again, on October the 25th, we hope that all of you will be joining us. That's on a Friday. We'll be going to the Justice Department to hold a rally, and as such, we will issue a demand to the Justice Department indicating that there are, in fact, cases, there's evidence that clearly shows that, hey, eugenics or whatever you care to call it, did in fact occur, and whatever you care to call it, it was, in fact, a human rights violation. Okay, one of many, needless to say, but nevertheless, we got them on this one. So we'll be talking more about that. Again, as we proceed, we'll be giving out some information very, very soon, because we're hoping that folks will begin to coordinate, organizing teams in their cities, in their states. But at any rate, if you want more information, you can certainly email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. You can also email MWM Sisterhood, which is MWMSISTAHOOD@aol.com. Again, MWMSISTAHOOD@aol.com. Okay, those are, I guess, the announcements that we want to give you for right now. And with that said, we're going to get ready to go to our live line. And again, we're going to talk about a couple of things. Needless to say, we want to remind you again that the transition of President Hugo Chavez is one that really saddened us, you know, in many ways. We strongly believe and feel that this was a very valuable ally, you know, to us as a people. It is just so interesting that, you know, on this end, meaning for the Men Women Movement, we were in the process of getting ready to have meetings with representatives from Venezuela to talk about some business ventures that we're looking at doing. And rest assured, it's still going to happen. But, you know, we want to allow ample time for, you know, there to be, you know, the mourning period that needs to occur. But just so you all know, we will be proceeding as planned with doing several very, very powerful business incentives and initiatives that will be ready for the reunion for October. So, you know, we'll be giving you more insight into that. Within the next month or so, we should be ready to give you some more concrete and solid information about that. But for right now, we just want you to know, you know, that it is still going to happen. It is still in the makings, and we're certainly looking forward to the next phase of bringing this allyship and collaboration together. All right, what we're going to do now is get ready to go to our live line. And, again, we're going to talk about, of course, the passing of President Chavez. Certainly, we want to make certain that we talk about sisters, our women, the need for solidarity, okay? I mean, certainly, this is an issue in an area that warrants much, much discussion and certainly more action. But we want to take the time tonight to at least begin that process and taking it to the next level, because we're building, again, a global sisterhood with specific kinds of intentions, with the ability to deal with some of the issues and concerns that are affecting all of us as sisters globally. And so, you know, again, we want to begin to allow the information and the connectivity of bonding together as women, as African women. So with that said, we're going to tell you more about a couple of the projects that the Men Women Movement is bringing forward, including the Pan-African Women's Federation that we will be talking more about at our Mandela convention in October. But here in the States, we are looking at dealing with some specific things that is relevant to our young sisters. We developed something called Little Sisters, and it's for girls 7 to 17. It's not only rites of passage, but there are quite a few other components that we feel are really, really necessary in this day and age in dealing with our sisters. Lastly, before we go to our live line, I just want to give you another brief update from a previous show. We had Sister Erica Taylor on a few weeks ago, and of course that is the cousin of Emmett Till, and we talked about you know, what's going on in the music industry, the so-called music and entertainment industry. Well, we'll have a special report for you next week, because there is something that we are now ready to, you know, bring forward. Took a minute to put it in place, but it is now ready, and we'll be bringing that report to you next week. But there is definitely some action that is in the process as it pertains to the response to Lil Wayne and the overall issue of how our women and girls are being projected in the film and the videos and the lyrics and so forth and so on. So stay tuned, family, because we got some really powerful information coming your way on how we get ready to deal with some of that. Okay, with that said, we're going to get ready to go to our live line. And we're going to talk with our sister again, a representative from the AAPRP, the All All African People's Revolutionary Party, and of course, within that, there is a wing for the All African Women. And so, with that said, we're going to get ready to bring in Sister Njiba, who is going to, you know, share with us some of the work that is presently going on with the AAPRP. I mean, that for me, this organization for me has been one that I've always helped dearly. You talk about consistency, you talk about continued hard work, you talk about, you know, just not backing down. I mean, in this day and age, it's kind of hard to find that, you know, with most organizations, because between punking out and selling out, most of the groups that I'm seeing are just weak. And, you know, it may sound like I'm being, like, real critical. You're right, I am, okay? Because, you know, we need to speak truth to power. And we need to stop fronting. And the more folks do that, the better off we'll be. And, I mean, there is balance, so don't get me wrong. I mean, there is objective criticism that I hope you have accepted it in that way. But the bottom line is, it is true. I mean, there's no denying what it is I just said. You know, so the bottom line is to be able to, you know, point out or to say that there are groups and organizations who have continued to represent, who have continued to, you know, hold the line, as they say. It certainly has been encouraging to me. And I, you know, had the opportunity to sit with Baba Kwame before he made transition, and I could tell you it was probably one of the most valued moments in my life as it pertains to dealing with struggles. So I have a personal, you know, love for the brothers and sisters of the AAPRP, and certainly a political bond with them. So, again, without further ado, we're going to go to our live line, and hopefully this is Sister Njiba. Hopefully, let's see, do we have her on this line? Sister, do we have you on this line?
Yes, sis, here I am.
All right, good, thanks. Very good. We've been having a few little technical difficulties, but I think we got it worked out here. Welcome to this segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation.
Thank you so much, sis. Thank you for having us on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Indeed, a pleasure. So before we talk about, of course, the passing of President Chavez, let's talk a little bit first about the work that the sisters are doing in the AAPRP. Share a little bit of that with us.
Certainly. Well, before I get to that, I certainly have to just alert the audience about the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Certainly, I wouldn't be doing my due diligence if I didn't sort of identify our objective. So the All African People's Revolutionary Party was called for by Kwame Nkrumah in the Handbook of Revolutionary Warfare in 1968. And in the Handbook of Revolutionary Warfare, he identified multiple different bodies, and the All African People's Revolutionary Party was one of those bodies. And in essence, our organization is an international Pan-African organization, and we have chapters throughout the world. We have chapters here in the United States. We have chapters in Britain, in Ghana, Guinea-Bissau, U.S. Virgin Islands, and a couple of other places, Canada, and we're expanding. We actually have a new chapter budding, you know, sort of making shape in Tanzania as we speak, and we're working with some other folks in southern parts of Africa. So the All African People's Revolutionary Party is a Pan-African organization, and we identify Pan-Africanism as a total liberation and unification of Africa under scientific socialism. And when we say the total liberation and unification of Africa, we're also including African people in the diaspora. So I think sometimes there's a divide between Pan-Africanists who happen to live in the diaspora and Pan-Africanists who live at home. And the All African People's Revolutionary Party is clear that we are all African people regardless. You mentioned that the AAPRP has the All African Women's Revolutionary Union. And this union was founded in 1980, actually at Columbus University. in Columbus, Ohio. And the reason that it was called for and founded was because we realized as African women, and I wasn't in the organization in 1980, but we realized as both African women and African men, that African women are triply oppressed based on race, class, and gender. And we, yeah, as African women, had to be able to be in the forefront of setting direction about how to address this triple oppression. And so the AAPRP founded the All African Women's Revolutionary Union. So the AWRU is really, it's the women's wing of the organization. All women in the organization are part and parcel of that women's wing. But most importantly, the AAWU gives direction to the AAPRP about the women's line, about the way forward, and the type of work that we should be doing on behalf of African women. So that's a very sort of brief overview of the AAPRP and the AAWRU.
All right, sister. Well, thank you for that, because, you know, it is important that the history, is given, because sometimes people don't know. Oftentimes people don't know. And it's, you know, again, you're right on point. It's more than appropriate to make certain that the historical information is provided.
Thank you, sis. And if you're asking about the work that we're doing as the AWRU, this is a great opportunity, because we actually have both African Liberation Day and Pan-African Women's Day coming up within the next 3 to 6 months. African Liberation Day this year is being coincidentally held on May 25th, which is a Saturday. And as we know, African Liberation Day is May 25th, regardless of whether it falls on a Saturday or not.
Right.
And this year,
yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't fall on a Saturday, so sometimes it's a Wednesday, but that still means that May 25th is still African Liberation Day. We're just celebrating it the following Saturday. And this year our theme is Pan-Africanism is Power. We must unite. So that certainly speaks volumes to, you know, where we must go as African people. Let's, you know, stop with the micronationalism. Let's stop with the, you know, the gender wars. Let's stop with, you know, the class wars internally to the African community. Let's talk about uniting as African people, because we understand that Pan-Africanism is power. And then specifically, looking to African women, we know that Pan-African Women's Day is coming up. And last year we were lucky enough to institutionalize Pan-African Women's Day, have it on three continents. And our theme last year was empowering African women for ourselves, our families, and our community. And this year coming up, we'll do a similar theme, because we're really interested in empowering African women and pushing African women to the fore. But most importantly, it's not just about pushing African women to the forefront to do triple work. We're not trying to triply oppress an African woman within an organization. That would make no sense, right? But we're trying to push the struggles of African women, the victories of African women, and really highlight that African women are really the part and parcel, or if not the crux, of why we as African people are where we are today. You know, I would love
That's
to say
right.
part and parcel, but when you're looking at 51% of the population, and you're looking at many of these great African women like Queen Nzinga, many of these folks that we can identify, Rosa Parks, et cetera, who have made absolute contributions to Pan-Africanism, to civil rights, all of the various movements that you're speaking about, independence, anti-apartheid movement, Winnie Mandela, et cetera, women in the PAC, AZAPO, all of these organizations, we see that African women are push us forward. And in AWRU, we say, you know, when the AAWRU moves, the party moves. So when the sisters don't move, the party doesn't move. And so we need to be clear about that power. When we're ready to move, we move. And so that one of the things that we're ready to move forward with is certainly African Liberation Day and Pan-African Women's Day.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, certainly between now and then, I'm sure that you or one of the other sisters will be, you know, coming on to keep us updated on how that's developing and, of course, how people can get involved.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
I'm certainly looking forward to it. I haven't been in a couple of years, but, you know, this is our year for the Million Woman March and its movement. This is when we actually officially launch what we, you know, call our universal movement. And it has taken us 16 years to get to this point. So, you know, we are very much now looking forward to, being more visible and certainly being more victorious. in representing in the way that we know we can. You know, the Men Women March is the largest gathering in the world of any women anywhere ever. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, it was kind of pushed to the side, you know, from history and a whole bunch of other things. So now, again, we've been blessed to be able to, you know, rise above the occasion and now move forward and onward. In December, Sister, I want to mention this to you and definitely invite you and sisters in particular to participate. We'll be in the Republic of Benin for the first of three human rights conferences that will, you know, focus on the human rights issues throughout the diaspora. But
wonderful.
There's a specific segment there that will deal with the women. Okay, and so I'll give you more information about that, you know, very soon as well, because we would love to have a delegation of our sisters from the AAPRP joining us. It's a wonderful thing that this is happening, because this is something that the women, that our women will be bringing forward on the international level to deal with this issue of human rights. So it was kind of groundbreaking in that regard, but the Republic of Benin has been very gracious and has welcomed us. So we're looking forward to, you know, going there and bringing this event or bringing this program there.
Wonderful. And so let me just say this. I think that herstory and history proves us correct or incorrect, right? And so, you know, the Million Women March, the Million Women Movement, it may have taken you 16 years to sort of reemerge. But it's not about winning the race. It's about winning the marathon. It's not about winning a single battle. It's about winning the war. So if you're not organized and you don't have the right objectives and you don't have the right folks at the table and we're not ideologically sound, it doesn't matter how many programs, it doesn't matter how many protests you go to, it doesn't matter how many conferences that you organize, it doesn't matter how many forums, it doesn't matter how many tops and rooftops that you start hollering about African women and women's rights. If you ain't organized and you don't have ideological clarity, it means nothing. So in my book, it took you 16 years to get it together. I salute you. I'm clear about that. And I understand that struggle does not come easy. If it came easy, we'd be free.
No doubt about it, my sister. No doubt about it. And, you know, and it's interesting because, don't get me wrong now, I have, while it has been extremely complicated to say the least, the lessons were, you know, so beyond valuable. You see,
yes.
Some things you can read in the book, but
yep.
It's not until you literally not only experience, but then figure that stuff out, and then
yep.
and then with that, able to, again, to be victorious, because, you know, over the years I had read about groups and organizations being infiltrated, you know,
mm-hmm.
saw films about it and went to lectures for it, but it wasn't until my own organization was hit with it that I then realized, you know, to a greater extent, what that can do, how much time
mm-hmm.
that can take away from the work that you have set out, and now you have to get distracted to deal with this bullcrap that these people have brought into your organization to dismantle.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, again, while you know, and though it has been 16 years, it's just that initially I did not anticipate it taking that long.
Right.
But
I understand,
sis. You know, but at the same time, in looking at how things develop, especially meaningful things, 16 years, no time.
Absolutely. 16 years is
so,
nothing. You know, if you look at civilizations, if you look at revolutionary movements,
mm-hmm.
if you look at the
mm-hmm.
Pan-African movement, 16 years is a blink of our eye. You ain't said nothing but
a
word,
right. That's right. No doubt. No doubt, because it is about longevity. And, you know, I was very, very blessed to have, you know, sat with some of the elders. And one of the things that President General Reedman Battles, who was one of my elder advisors, one of the things that he made very clear to me, he said, look, this is what you've got to do. He said, you've got to institutionalize some
yep.
of what you're doing. And see,
yep.
and that stuck with me. And I realized, I said, okay, not a problem. I got you. You know, he said, that's what you got to do. And needless to say, of course, he was President General for the incredible UNIA ACL. you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like listening to somebody that, okay, I can like really listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
and heed to it, you know.
Absolutely.
But you know, it's all good. It was lessons well learned, and again, I feel very blessed because it has equipped us with what we feel, not only the capabilities to bring this thing forward the way we must, but also to respond in ways that we need to respond to some things too.
Right. Definitely understand that, sis.
All right, my sister. So let's talk a little bit about Venezuela. As I indicated, I was visiting D.C. a few months back and got the opportunity to meet the ambassador, the new ambassador, and with that had already secured a commitment for a delegation of Afro-Venezuelan sisters to join us in October. And again, you know, what we've been stressing or been conveying over the years, how important it is that we build, you know, with our allies continuously. And I know this is something that the APRP has done from the time that I can remember. Again, I was a student in college when we brought Baba Kwame to the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I remember very well. You know, what the line was, what the positions were, and certainly, you know, how important the students were. And,
mm-hmm.
again, the building of with other nations, and especially those nations that understood struggle, that understood the need to fight, and oftentimes did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Again, you know, the AAPRP has a true history of continued work. So tell us a little a bit about, from your vantage point, Venezuela.
Well, first of all, I mean, I think that when we look at Venezuela, we have to look at the fact that, you know, Venezuela is heavily populated by Africans, as is
mm-hmm.
many parts in South and Central America. So, you know, when we begin to look into, quote unquote, the Spanish speaking world, we understand that there is a huge percentage of African people that are living right there. And
indeed.
and much like African people who live in the United States of America, they do not have the benefit of having proper historical and cultural education, which means they are disconnected from their African ancestry, right?
Right.
So
right.
However, with that being said, if you go to various places in South America, to Brazil, to the Caribbean, et cetera, you will see elements of African culture that have
mm-hmm.
transcended from generation to generation, correct? And
that's right.
What you'll notice is that although those elements transcended from generation to generation, oftentimes the ability to connect those elements back to the African continent is not there. And that's because
mm-hmm.
of capitalist ideology and the propaganda which is pumped into the media every single day, which says that Africa is not the right place to be and we should not, as African people, be unified. So I'm just pointing out that when we think about Venezuela and we think about our comrade Hugo Chavez, who unfortunately made his transition a few days ago, we have to
mm-hmm.
remind ourselves of that. We also have to remind ourselves that Hugo Chavez said himself that I'm an Afro-Venezuelan.
That's right.
He said, I'm an African. He was clear.
Yeah.
He said, I'm an
yeah.
African.
Yeah.
All this other stuff is significant, but be clear, mm-hmm. I'm aligned with Africa and African people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is when you stop to think about folks out of South and Central America, out of Venezuela, Bolivia,
mm-hmm.
these various places,
mm-hmm.
you have many Africans that are moving
mm-hmm.
through the streets, many Africans that were brought there through the transatlantic slave trade, much like African people here in the United States. So let's
That's
ask
right.
ourselves, you know, what when we think of Venezuela, not only do we think of the massive amounts of African people that reside there, that were born there generations upon generations out of this thing called slavery, out of being a captive from Africa. We also have to remind ourselves that when Hugo Chavez came into power in 1999, along with the Venezuelan United Socialist Party, he said, hold it. We're not going to go down a capitalist road. Let's go down a socialist road. What are we going
right.
to do? We're going to nationalize the oil. We're going to nationalize natural resources. Why did he do that? Because he understood that it's important for the people to have their resources in their hands. He was clear that when you nationalize your oil and nationalize your other natural resources, the people have a better quality of life. What else did he do? He stepped in and he said, listen, there is no history in our school books about Afro-Venezuelans. That's an absolute tragedy. Let's throw it in the school books so that our people do not grow up confused and ignorant about who they are and what their relationship is to Africa. Outside of that, our brothers and sisters in Venezuela, not only did they say, hey, let's take care of our folks here in Venezuela, they said, you know what? We need to go and look into the socialist world to see who is down with us, who has the same ideology, and who believes that capitalism is on its last leg, and who believes that a new economic system, which socialism is that system, is the next step, the just step for the people, the masses of people. So what did they do? They called for the Bolivarian Alternative for the Peoples of our Americas, ALBA.
Mm-hmm.
What did ALBA do, sister? ALBA has 8 countries, including Cuba, Venezuela, Bolivia, a couple of Caribbean countries, and they trade, they can barter goods. So, like, Venezuela has a lot of oil. Cuba has a lot of doctors. So you can trade doctors for oil. Right? Because Cuba has more doctors than we think that the quote-unquote U.S. medical system is so advanced. Well, Cuba has more doctors than the entire United States has doctors per capita. And as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, although we're talking about Venezuela, we can't talk about Venezuela without talking about Cuba, right?
That's right.
If I'm not mistaken, their medical school is absolutely free.
That's right.
And they were taking students from around the world that were from the quote-unquote oppressed class, right? Those of us, those Africans, those Latinos, those Asians, right? Out of communities in which there was some level of exploitation, oppression, all those students had to do was get into the school and fly to Cuba. And their housing was free, their lodging, their food was free, and their education was free. Now, where in the world can you find that in the capitalist world?
That's right. No doubt about
it. You can't, right? So
no
not
doubt
only,
about it.
So Venezuela said, let me look around and see who I can find as an ally. Cuba, natural ally, right? So they formed ALBA.
Right.
They also formed the Economic Community of Latin America and Caribbean Countries. They were forming a new, I believe 2 years ago, they said that they were going to identify a new currency that they could then trade amongst ALBA countries. Because why do we have to be tied to the U.S. dollar?
That's right.
You have the most oil, right? And if I'm trading in a different currency, then you need to step to the table with that currency. In addition to that, and I'll pause here after that, two things I want to bring out, Venezuela and the Venezuelan United Socialist Party was in absolute support of the Jamhuria and the government of Libya and Muammar Gaddafi, who was illegally assassinated on the side of the world.
That's right.
By imperialists. And although we're not talking about Libya right now, I want to just bring our attention to what's going on in Libya. As we speak, where are the majority of the oil profits going? Who owns the majority of the oil shares? So while we see that our brother Muammar Gaddafi was gunned down on the side of the road, the Jamhuria was quote unquote taken out of commission. Okay, but be clear: when the people are correct, the people will always rise. Who has the majority of stock in oil now in Libya? And mind you, when we're talking about Libya and Venezuela and Cuba, they have a couple of things in common. In Libya, for example, every Libyan got a certain amount of oil proceeds put into their bank account every month. When you had a child in Libya, you got a certain amount of money per child for having that child. Libya was sending students outside of Libya and paying them to go to school to come back home to bring the education back home. Libya has the highest rate of literacy on the African continent and in many parts of the world. And as a matter of fact, most people are the most people who have university educations. Of course, they don't tell us this on TV, right? They just talk about the dictator Muammar Gaddafi. They don't tell us about that.
That's right.
Right? So I'm coming back to Venezuela. But a couple of things that we have to remind ourselves about Venezuela. Not only are we looking at ALBA, we're looking at the economic community of Latin America and Caribbean countries. Not only are we looking at Venezuela and Hugo Chavez supporting the Afro-Venezuelans and Africa and African people in the diaspora. You mentioned that your delegation was coming forward. The AAPRP has worked with Venezuelans. We've had several delegations from Howard University go to Venezuela. Venezuelan delegations come. Not only are they doing that, but we all know Sitco, right? We all know the gas station.
That's right.
Sitco.
Absolutely.
Where'd that all come from?
That's
Venezuela.
Right. Yes,
and
indeed.
You know what, sister? Let me tell you what's interesting. People like to demonize what they don't know. Well, what folks in the U.S. and around the world don't know is that Citgo gives free oil people who are living in poverty-stricken environments in the United States of America.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've seen it with my own eyes.
There are commercials. You know there are commercials that come on TV.
Yes, sister.
So people
yes.
just haven't connected the dots, but they are
yes.
literally Joe Kennedy usually
yep.
is the person that you'll see. But Citgo, as you said, that oil is coming out of Venezuela. Absolutely.
It is coming out of Venezuela. And who is it helping?
Mm-hmm.
It's helping our people. It's
That's
helping
right.
poor Europeans. It's
because
right. I know you've seen the commercial where there's a European on the commercial, there's an African,
yep.
there's a Latino,
right.
all receiving
Absolutely.
Assistance from Venezuela,
mm-hmm.
socialist Venezuela.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
I don't know if I haven't seen any capitalist nations giving free oil out and,
mm-hmm.
and giving the
mm-hmm.
profits of the oil and putting the resources in the hands of the people. Haven't seen it. Let me know if you see it, sister, but I haven't seen it because that's not the nature
right.
of capitalism.
That's right.
That is the nature of socialism, but it's certainly not the nature of capitalism. And
mm-hmm.
so sort of in summation, because I know you've got other folks you're speaking with as well, I just want to
mm-hmm.
kind of read a quote here that we have in our press release from Ernesto Che Guevara. And, of course, we all know the famed Che Guevara, who, you know, really was instrumental in the Cuban Revolution. But
yes.
Of course, you know, many of us don't think of him in these terms. He says, at the risk of seeming ridiculous, let me say that the true revolutionary is guided by a great feeling of love. And I say that to say that our comrade Hugo Chavez, he was clearly guided by a great feeling of love. He could have taken a different direction quickly, as many people do. Many political parties are socialists. They claim they're socialists, right? This
That's
socialist
right.
party, that socialist party, the next socialist party, they get into power, they let this vile capitalism take them over, and all of a sudden they become the hardest capitalists around, still calling themselves socialists. Not this African. This African said, you know what? I'm a socialist, and we have to employ socialist principles, which means utilizing our resources and our quote-unquote wealth to help improve humanity. That if we don't learn anything from our comrade, that is what we must learn. Not only did he talk about socialism, but many people are aware of his avid fight against global warming.
Yes.
It's his avid fight towards this whole concept of emissions and how these first world countries are emitting ridiculous amounts of emissions versus quote-unquote developing nations.
Mm-hmm.
Our comrade was on the front lines of that. As a matter of fact, in Caracas, they had a parallel meeting to one of the major environmental rights meetings. And it was like the third world, the people's Environmental Protection Agency meeting about global warming. Since they weren't, since we, the people, were not invited to the petty bourgeois,
right.
okay,
right.
global warming summit, environmental justice summit. So, I mean, he has been a steward for not only Latin America, but Africa. He has really looked out for for people who are oppressed, and he's understood that it's important for us to move beyond our own illegal borders, because that's all they are, is illegal borders, sis. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you
mm-hmm.
are not the indigenous people on the land, you are the one who's illegal. And these borders, the 55 countries in Africa, for example, are illegal borders, right? And when we start to
That's
talk
right.
about Pan-Africanism and our connection to not just Africa, but folks in Latin America, the Caribbean, folks in the United
mm-hmm.
States, even if they're not African, if you're down
right.
with transforming this capitalist nation into a socialist world so that the people control their resources, the All African People's Revolutionary Party is down with you. Like, we're
all
down
right.
with the Irish in Northern Ireland that are fighting for their land, have been fighting for their land for years. We are
mm-hmm.
down with you. If you look like me and you a capitalist and you're not concerned with the people, we're not down with you.
I know that's right.
Which is why we are 125% in complete solidarity with the Venezuelan people, as we are with the Cuban people.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that they are our people and we are them.
You know, let me ask this. I don't know if you were got the opportunity to see this, but someone sent me an article that talked about President Obama. Now, this was within hours of President Chavez's transition.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama sent a letter or sent a message to the Venezuelan people saying how they are now ready and willing to work with the Venezuelan people.
I did not get a chance to see that, but let me tell you something, sister. Obama is an agent of the people. I mean, excuse me. Obama is an agent of the capitalists of America.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That sums it up. You know, many people have issues with Obama. Many people say, well, what he's doing is incorrect, blah, blah, blah. I don't even have the time to even have a conversation about Obama and what policies he's implementing or he's not implementing. You know why? Because
mm-hmm,
the president of the United States of America is an agent of capitalism. It's an agent of these multinational corporations. So it could be me, sister. It could be you. And guess what? You sit in that seat, you will be an agent of imperialism, period.
Mm-hmm.
You can have the best intentions, because that seed is not about change. That seed is not about democracy. That seed is about controlling the people. That seed is about saying, you know what, we are an agent. I am an agent of my massa. So my massa tells me to move, I move. And so sending a letter, basically, what does that say to you? To me, that says, okay, so we've got some vultures that are circling.
Yeah.
And they want to get in control of what, sister? The oil.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That seems to be the big
That's
game.
That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. So much like in Venezuela, much like in Libya, for example, the French went in. The French dropped their troops. There was an article that came out. It must have been either a day, maybe a few days, either before or after Gaddafi was illegally murdered. Came out, the British were upset that the French would have more shares in the oil industry because they provided more military support to the NTC. Have you ever heard of any craziness like that? I've never heard of no craziness like that. You got these two European powers fighting over who's going to get more shares. So you sent more drones and more troops, so you're going to get more shares.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that is.
Mm-hmm.
So
no
there's
doubt.
Going to be vultures that are going to come. There's going to be oil companies. There's going to be governments. There's going to be internal strife. You're talking about some internal strife. You're talking about
mm-hmm.
some folks that are planted to upset. That's what they tried to do when the CIA tried to overthrow Chavez several years ago. But the people said, we're not going for this. And so what we are trusting in, the All African People's Revolutionary Party and the All African People's Revolutionary Union, is trusting that the people of Venezuela are clear and they see through any smokescreen. Because let me tell you what happens, sister. What happens is, I'm likening this to a ideology. I'm likening it to a house that's on fire. You're in a house. There's 20 of y'all in a house. It's on fire. Smoke inhalation is going on. You can't get out the windows. You're searching for the door. What's the fundamental contradiction? Is it the smoke? Is it the house? Is it the lack of ability to get out the door? Is it the lack of ability to properly breathe? Or is it the fire? If you identify the fire and put the fire out, sister, the smoke will clear. You'll be able to quickly
That's
see a
right.
window. You'll be able to quickly leave.
Mm-hmm.
But what has happened
That's
to
right.
us as African people and people who have been oppressed is that we're so concerned with the smoke and the fact that the window won't open and we can't see and we can't get 12 breaths in and, oh, we're tripping over somebody's tennis shoe and that's not the enemy, the tennis shoe. We can't even see that the fire is our fundamental enemy. And the fire, in this case, is the representation of capitalism, sis.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
so
know,
what
I got
we have to do is keep our eyes on the prize.
And you know, sister, you are like so on point. And I really believe that the Venezuelan people are very, very prepared, very ready, you know, to deal with whatever it is that's coming or whatever it is they try to have coming. Needless to say, we know that President Chavez had already appointed or gave, you know, direction or indication about the successor. And so,
yep.
you know, surely that will be very, very, that'll at least kind of help eliminate some of the nonsense. And then the other thing, too, of course, again, I mentioned we were able to go to the embassy. This was right after the election, and there was a celebration at the embassy when President Chavez won, of course, the election. And what many of the people were saying, because there were people there who, of course, were observers. They were there
mm-hmm.
to observe the election that was, of course, had, you know, was being tainted prior to it happening, and they
mm-hmm.
simply say a little something afterwards. But needless to say, it went not only far beyond what folks imagine, but the way that the election was done, you know, was like so incredible. So, you know, I'm sure, I feel very confident that the people will be able to deal with whatever this government or any of the European entities try to bring. And we, knowing their history, we know they're going to try something.
Absolutely. And sister, you hit the nail on the head. You said the Venezuelan people are ready. And I think at the end of the day, if, be clear, if that election had been faulty at one
mm-hmm.
point,
yep.
we would still be hearing about it.
That's right.
We would be hearing about it right now. Hugo Chavez made his transition. Great. Time to clear up a nasty election.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear that, though, right? Which
no,
means that it was above board.
Mm-hmm.
So now we ask ourselves, because according to their constitution, which, by the way, quote unquote, you know, their whole constitution and their whole sort of party is supposedly, quote unquote, undemocratic. However, if
mm-hmm.
according to their constitution, I haven't done a full study, but there must be a new election in 30 days. Now, let me ask you this, sister. I'm not like a U.S. history buff or anything like that. I don't have a PhD in U.S. history. But if the president of the United States is killed, dies, is in a car accident, slips off a cliff, falls over, breaks his nose, is there an election? Because I don't think there is. Not at all,
nope.
right? So we have no choice but to take who the vice president is, if I'm not mistaken. So when we start to talk about democracy, right, we say to ourselves, wow, seems like there's some discrepancies in that ballpark. Because if the way in order to say, okay, hey, we're not just going to take who Hugo Chavez appointed, although he did appoint his, you know, the gentleman that had been working with him for
mm-hmm.
many years and clearly is part and parcel of the process,
mm-hmm.
he
mm-hmm.
has to prove his merit and run. And the people will make the decision.
That's right.
The people
mm-hmm.
will make the decision
right.
in 30 days. And so I think that is, and then, of course, let's not forget the Bolivarian circles. And let's not forget the political education that took place in Venezuela and is still taking place. Let's also not forget when we oftentimes we begin to say, oh, you know, Hugo Chavez was a dictator, blah, blah, blah. When they had a first referendum of the Constitution, the people voted and they denied that referendum. And you know what Hugo Chavez said? The people have spoken. I'm moving forward.
That's right.
He didn't, by executive order, say this is what it is. The people have spoken, because he was very clear what society that he was living in.
Well, my sister, needless to say, you know, we have so much work ahead of us, and it's still a very wonderful thing to see what we're seeing in this day and age, because these examples, I think, are helping to strengthen what we need to do here.
Yes, sir. definitely.
Well, we've run out of time for this segment. My sister, I want to thank you again. And I said I wanted to ask what your name meant. I always like to know what our names mean.
And I am happy to tell you. Mjiba means young revolutionary woman. It's from Zimbabwe. Yes.
Uh-oh.
And Frehewat means seed of life. And that is from, it's Amharic.
Wonderful. I love it. Well, my sister, you will certainly, I'm sure, be talking with us again in the very near future, especially as we approach May for African Liberation Day, May 25th. Has the location been selected yet for D.C.?
So the location has not been selected yet for D.C. It will either be at Howard University. We will be having, on May 25th, we'll actually be having African Liberation Day in Philadelphia. So the week before that, we're going to have African Liberation Day in D.C. But we certainly will keep you updated, let you know when that location has been chosen, and really, you know, keep you and your listeners on board throughout the entire process.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, my sister, I thank you again. And this has been truly informative and certainly, you know, what I feel to be, you know, right to the point, raw and real.
Thank you, sis. Thank you, sis. Well, we appreciate, on behalf of the All African People's Revolutionary Party, we appreciate you having us on. And, of course, you know, we look forward to partnering with your organization, with your upcoming event in November and December, and certainly look forward to just build the Pan-African movement as far as we can throughout our lifetime.
Oh, sister, well, give thanks. Asante Sana, and as we all know, onward.
All right, sis, forward.
Emoji to the Shenda. All right, family, we were just talking with Sister Mjiba, and what a wonderful dialogue we just had. I'm certainly looking forward to having our sister back with us very, very soon. We're going to move right along now, and again, you know that this is Women's History Month, and every year around this time, there's quite a few activities that go on at the UN. I mean, there's a lot of activities go on nationwide, needless to say, but there are some very specific things that go on at the UN every year, and this is an international kind of engagement. And it's very, 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 very important, because a lot of what is discussed, a lot of what is reported, you know, kind of lends to making some changes, you know, from a government standpoint. At least that's the intention. And certainly the more we are involved as African women, the more we can, you know, have our voices heard and be very instrumental in some of those changes that need to occur. Now, as I indicated earlier, the issue of violence and abuse is one that is very dear to my heart, as it is, I'm sure, for many of you all. The reality of the matter is that we all have mothers. There's no getting around that. Therefore, there is a part of us, a place in our hearts, that can and will always be touched, whether we like it or not. And certainly in this day and age, we have to make certain that that's understood, because the issue of gender violations in our community is not only increasing, it is the type of violations that we're now seeing that we have not seen before. Our people have never been mass murderers, okay? So, you know, that's something as far as in this particular neck of the woods, we did not see certain things happening in our communities as pertaining to our women and girls. Well, unfortunately, that's changing, and it's changing rapidly. But at any rate, we're going to go to our live line now, and we're going to talk more about the issue of violence and abuse of women and girls, and of course, not just here in the U.S., because needless to say, particularly in the continent, oh my gosh, there's some real other kind of stuff going on there. But it's all connected. We all have the responsibility now to address it in whatever way we possibly can. And certainly the Black Women's Defense League, which is one of the special units for the Million Women Movement, is totally committed to doing that and only that. That's its job. That's its work. That's its mission, the Black Women's Defense League. And so you're going to be hearing more about that as we proceed in the weeks to come as well. But for right now, we're going to go to our live line because there is an event, a program, an engagement that's coming up this week at the UN, and Queen Mother Dr. Doris Blakely is the facilitator of this event. It is my pleasure, my honor to, again, be a part of this dialogue. And, you know, we are going to really, you know, bring this thing to the forefront, to a point where we're going to be able to convey to you, at least from my end, from the Million Women Movement and from the Black Men's Defense League, and we will be bringing to you this week portions of a brief that we are preparing to take into Africa in December when we have our Human Rights Convention. We'll present the entire brief there. However, we will bring parts of the brief this week. This is a very, very special occasion for us because no one has seen this information, and it is going to be our pleasure to bring this into Queen Mother's Forum so that people can begin to see that the issue of eugenics in this country will now be exposed globally. So, without further ado, we're going to go to our live line again, and hopefully we have Queen Mother on this line. Queen Mother, are you with us?
Yes.
Oh, good thanks. Wonderful. Thank you for joining us. I know you've had a hectic week because the sessions have, in fact, begun at the UN. So thank you for taking the time to join us tonight.
Sure, by all means. And the women are here in large numbers all last week. They came in for the beginning, the 4th, and it ends on the 15th of March. And we had registered over 6,000 women.
All right.
Coming and discussing the issue of how do we deal with eradicating and eliminating all form of violence against women. And as you know, that yesterday was the International Day for women all around the world. And the Secretary General of the United Nations, Secretary Ban Ki-moon, joined us with his the First Lady of the World as well, his wife, and many ministers and the Vice President of some countries and other high-level women from different ministries were engaged and involved with the International Day, where we gathered at 10 o'clock in the morning to 12 noon. Then the women went out in the snow and rain and had their march of all form of violence must be stopped. And also we as one mobilizing and coming together to address the issue around the world. And the campaign that has also been forged in the world as well. And so, which is the promise, and that is the campaign of the Secretary General, the promise that we will be engaged and involved of eliminating violence against women and all its form. We were very pleased to have had men to be at the session this last weekend. we'll be participating again this coming week. So we were very pleased to see our Wakanda parts participating in the session with us at the United Nations. And there have been many side events that's taken place at the Salvation Army, taken place at the United Nations Church Center. Many of its missions and member states' doors are open for the various sessions or side events, as we would call them. I did participate in the side event briefing at the U.S. mission before the president signed the bill on Thursday. We had the special session on Wednesday. And then, again, where they all joined the member states yesterday, which was Friday, coming in with their reports and other nations coming in with their reports. And now they're in the midst of their negotiations. And so these negotiations and consultations are going on at the moment and will be going on all next week as we continue the side events. Yes, we are having a side event, which will be Wednesday, and we're looking forward to you joining us March the 13th from 12:30 to 2 at the United Nations Church Center in the Boss Room, 8th floor, and that's between 44th Street between 1st and 2nd Avenue. And if women would like to come, feel free to join us. The Boss Room at the United Nations Church Center on the 8th floor, which is 777 United Nations Plaza. But again, as I said, it's at 44th Street between 1st and 2nd Avenue across from the headquarters of the United Nations. But this is all still a part of the United Nations proper, where many size events are taking place and many of the missions around the United Nations as well. And we will be discussing eradicating, eliminating violent acts against women and girls and empowering victims and survivors. The theme has been throughout our thread amongst women is about empowerment. And we're talking about development, equity, and peace, or equality, development, equality, peace, and these are the language that is being brought forward by women of empowerment. So we're keeping that as our focus. The women also has come up with a song which is being brought forward or promoted around the world for women as a reminder of the work that we must continue to do and leaving the United Nations at the end of the 15th of March. And so we are prepared to continue to work and hear from our sisters, our daughters, our mothers about their experiences on many levels that are brought to us, a part of that conversation, a part of that discussion. And so we have gathered to look and review and to visit our sisters in their deliberation and their concerns and the dialogues and how we communicate with each other around the issues. And so I just wanted to share that with the women. And as you know, they're looking forward to the 5th World Conference on Women. The 4th World Conference was held in Beijing, China.
Yes.
In the fall back in 1995.
Yes.
And so
yes.
Now we have had what we call the yearly updates on where we are and what are the issues that the women have come together to address. And I think that this has been one of the most meaningful discussion with women and realize that all of our lives has been touched by violence at some form or another. We know our sisters, mothers, daughters have experienced the horror of violence against them on many levels. And so coming together and addressing the issue has been one of the most moving experiences for me, being a part of this session this year at the United Nations. So I'm just here to report and looking forward to the women joining us next week as we continue to find the solutions to the problems of the concern that we all have at this time in our lives. And I had the honor of going to the Deep South on the Pettus Bridge last week, last Sunday, and walked across the bridge and spending time with women who have lived their lives, and also the mother that was left for dead on the bridge. When you're thinking and we're reflecting on voters' rights and the role that women have played in the leadership, and seeing these women in Selma, Alabama, last week, where President Joe Biden came to Selma to apologize for the 48 years of not coming to Selma, Alabama, and being a part of the struggle of a people just to vote, and meeting the various organizations and hearing the stories again from the women in leadership of that struggle. We do think of the men, but it's about the women and the role they played. And to hear the stories from the elders was one of the most profound experiences that I have had of, you know, visiting the Deep South and hearing from them, hearing their voices again in the struggle. And again, revisiting the violence that was perpetrated toward them in that struggle as women. So there again, it just adds another dimension for me of that revisiting the Deep South in the United States of America and hearing from the elders. So in that spirit of Queen Mother Moore, Audley Moore, as you know, Mother, also lived the struggle and continued her work and continued to raise her voice. And then when I think of Rosie Parks, our mother also in the struggle, and just today I had it's like reuniting with a sister who had an affair in New York State, and Mother Rosa Parks came where Queen Mother was at, and she said to Queen Mother Moore, and we reminiscing about it today, that Mother Rosa Parks said to Queen Mother Moore, "Queen Mother, you've been in this struggle before I was ever born." And we kind of like reminiscing today, myself and Sister Gloria Wilson, about that. And I thanked her for bringing the two women together before they both made their transitions of being our ancestors now. But it was just, again, revisiting the women and how they stood up in spite of the struggle of a people, and how they forged on, and how they have empowered other women to move on and go on and take the noble stands that we must take in the liberation struggle of a people. So this has just been a powerful week for those of us women that are revisiting and coming up with resolutions and solutions to the problems that faces us as women. And so I am here to just hear with the sisters.
Wonderful, wonderful. Queen Mother, roughly how many countries, you know, the women came, you said there's roughly 6,000 this year that were registered. Tell our family roughly how many countries are represented. What are some of the countries, the sisters that have come?
We're there from the Congo, from Rwanda, Ethiopia, South Africa, Mozambique, from Jamaica, from the Bahamas. They're from every member state because this is a United Nations member states conference. From China, from Japan, from Greece, from Rome, at a time that you're dealing with the paper blessing and the Vatican of what's going on in Rome at the time.
Right.
The women are in for the session or for the conference. Women from Haiti, women from the Arab world, you name the countries that, they're here. Venezuela, from Brazil, from Bermuda, you name the countries, and they are at the United Nations from all over the world. So it is all of the regions of the world are the representatives that are at the United Nations, from France, from Georgia, from Russia, you name the country they are in. So it's truly representation of the women from around the world. As I stated, over 6,000 women registered for the conference. And
It's more than
the capacity of the United Nations. So we have so many strict rules and regulations at the United Nations at the moment. As I was talking to some of the peacekeepers, and they said, Queen Mother, there's so many women here. You go to the store, you go to the cleaners, you go to the hotels, wherever you go, the women are here. And I said, yes, but it's only your mothers, your sisters, your daughters, and your wives. That's who they are. And they're here to for us to have this dialogue together and for us to network amongst ourselves and come up with best practices and how we can be able to heal each other, the modality of healing. And today there was women dealing with Moringa, for instance. And you're talking about women from the Asia community connecting with women of healing and health as a modality for wellness for women through their struggle. And from the farm of actually growing Moringa and Moringa used as tea and as a healer. And you're hearing women talking about Moringa from different parts of the world.
Wow.
You know, as a commonality. And it's
like,
how do we farm with each other? Oh, you're good at farming in Ethiopia. Or Evatraz, okay, fine. What have you done there that might have been different in Nigeria of dealing with farming with women? They're talking to each other, okay, and how we can become women as one and one voice. And that is the message and the promise that we must keep to each other with the campaign that the Secretary General brought forward for us. And so we are just here to continue to work and to return home with the new commitment to the masses of the women that the women came to the United Nations to represent. And that's the reminder of the various caucuses that we have, the African caucus, of the CARICOM caucus, which is the Latin area, Latin American countries, as well as the Caribbean countries. And then you're talking about the Asian Pacific countries, and then you're talking about the European Union. And so this is, you know, the dialogue or the African Union or whatever unions we're speaking of that makes up many of the caucuses. And then women from Canada, the neighboring country, that is with us. And so you name the country, which was yesterday quite interesting. They had something of great interest that some of us sometimes may not think is a part of that modality that we're dealing with, where you had the World of Fashion Forum.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see what that means, where women have the opportunity of creating designs out of this quest of the healing modality, you know, that they're coming out with their own fashion. And as I said, the World of Fashion was a part of the dialogue of education. And so we've just seen different ways of dealing with the violence against women and how we can begin to have the healing come forward from a spirituality. Women are addressing the healing. They are addressing the healing through a training techniques that we must use for our healing is coming forward. And some of the most interesting workshops that has been a part of the conversation or a part of the conference or a part of the sessions that we have had. The innovative ways that women have brought forward for this eliminating the pain and the suffering that left the scars on the women around the violent acts on them. So this has been very refreshing to see, and where we're saying onward and upward, and to hear what is the slogans and what is the message that the women are coming through to share with the women of the world has been very profound during the last week. And I'm looking forward to this week as we continue our work around eradicating and eliminating all form of violence against women, as we chart the plan of action for the future for the women, and saying no more. No, it must be stopped. And we are one. And we are one. And that is the message. We are one woman. One woman. And again, with the song that they're promoting and the campaigns that are out there, it's very powerful, very powerful.
Well, Queen Mother, I'm certainly looking forward to participating as a panelist for your session. And I don't know if you heard me mention earlier, I will be providing some insight into the declaration that we are preparing. There will be a major rally in front of the Justice Department on October 25th, and at that point we will begin releasing our national campaign for the elimination of violence and abuse of African women and girls. This phase of it, of course, focuses on North America, but again, to point out that, you know, when it comes to the various violations, you know, again, we can no longer just talk about domestic violence, but that rape and other forms of violations, even discrimination, that's a violation. And some of that's taking place in various institutions, in the schools or at work. You know, these are also things that have to be addressed. And certainly now, women of African descent have to we have to represent ourselves, because there are areas in this that when we talk about healing, well, you know, only we know our history and culture and experiences. Other women don't know those things, and therefore the application of addressing this issue from a healing standpoint can't really be much so effective because they don't know what it is that we're really dealing with beyond the surface to some extent. So it's a wonderful thing to be in this day and age now to bring forward a movement that is specifically for women and girls of African descent, that we take our rightful places. And I say that because I remember hearing you say that when you talked about Queen Mother Moore. This was in 95, before you all went to Beijing, China, and you did a presentation here in Philadelphia, and you was telling the audience what Queen Mother had wanted them to know. And one of the things that you said in that presentation was that Queen Mother Moore said, no one can represent us but us, and that we have to be the ones to do this thing as women and to take our rightful places, you see. And so, I remembered it and heeded the call, and now we move forward in bringing forward the Million Woman Universal Movement. So, again, on October 25th, which is our anniversary day, we will literally be at the Justice Department. And one of the things that we are demanding, Queen Mother, is that there is a thorough investigation into eugenics being done right here in the U.S. after the Declaration of Human Rights was signed. We're talking about the 50s and in the 60s, particularly. We have cases on the books of eugenics, or some form of eugenics, forced sterilization that was in connection with the government. See, this is groundbreaking, and this is sort of what we're going to be talking about or bringing when we have our discussion this week.
Mm. And also, I'm glad that you raised Queen Mother. She's just been inducted in the Hall of Resistance.
Oh, fantastic.
At the Slavery Museum, I received her honors and her legacy in
wonderful
Selma, Alabama, the 48th
wonderful
anniversary. And so there again, the word that Queen Mother always said to us, to a woman of resistance, and now she is in history, inducted
wow
into the Resistance Hall of Honor,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
at the Slavery Museum in Selma, Alabama. And then another one of our sisters was inducted in the Hall of Women in the National Voters Registration, Voters' Right Museum. And that was Marion Wright Edelman from the Children's Defense Fund.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
in that induction from the Voters' Rights Museum in Selma. And a male that we all know and others, but Jeremiah Wright, the pastor,
mm-hmm,
was
yes,
also
yes, mm-hmm,
inducted.
Wonderful.
Resistance in the Slavery Museum in Selma, Alabama. So there again, resistance, and we must take a stance, continue, and carry the legacy. We must carry it on in the spirit of our noble women, our warrior women.
Absolutely.
That did not look back and did not turn around, but kept forward and upward. And that is the message that we are dealing with to our sisters. Onward.
Absolutely.
And upward. Yes.
Now, Queen Mother, before we let you go, you are asking that folks RSVP you or the organization if they're planning to come. Is that correct?
Yes, but if they don't have time to do that, just come. just come. We would like to hear from you, but if not, don't worry about it. You are invited, and that's March the 13th, which is Wednesday, at the United Nations Church Center at 44th Street between 1st and 2nd Avenue. And it is on the 8th floor, the boss room. And the building number is 777 United Nations Plaza. But you can find it. Just ask anyone for the United Nations Church Center across the street from the United Nations headquarters. And the time is from 12:30 to 2 p.m.
Okay.
It's our slotted
time. There is no admission. There's no admission.
No admission.
Okay.
Just come. And just tell me, looking for Queen Mother. Somebody will instruct you if you can't find me. You will.
Yes,
yes
they
will.
I remember last year when I came, I said, I don't even know if I said Queen. They said, you're looking for Queen Mother? Oh, they knew.
Yes, they are finding us in the building on the 8th floor in the boss room. And that's Wednesday the 13th from 12:30 to 2. Yes.
Okay. Now, also, family, for those of you who are in the Philadelphia tri-state area, particularly in Philadelphia, if you need a way to get there, if you don't want to drive or you don't want to catch the bus, Mama Gail Cloudon, of course, she's here in Philly, very, very much involved, of course, with her group, the Parent Involvement Academy and school and so forth. Well, she has a bus that's going to be going up on Wednesday, March the 13th, and so, you know, everyone is invited to go up on the bus with Mama Gail. She'll be going to Queen Mother's session. She'll also be stopping at the African burial ground, and they'll be doing some other things. So if you are interested in going up for this session that Queen Mother just talked about, in addition to a few other things, you can contact Mama Gail at 215-476-1278. Again, 215-476-1278. The cost round trip is only $42. You cannot beat that, $42. So, again, they'll be leaving at 8 a.m. They will be going to the session that Queen Mother's holding at the UN starting at 12 o'clock. And, again, if you want more information, if you're in Philly, you want to go up for the day, please contact Mama Gail Cloudon at 215-476-1278, or you can email her at pia.heal, which is H-E-A-L, at gmail.com. Again, pia.heal at gmail.com. All right.
Yes, come, come. And the early bird get the early worm. We all know that. And so the doors will be open for you to come to join us. And we would love to hear from you. We want you to be a part of that discussion. And the panel will be a panel, I think, that we will all be pleased to hear from and to gather more information and be more informed and be able to be a part of that discussion. And that's what we're looking forward to from the women and men, too, who wants to come to be with us.
Yes, very good. All right, is there a contact, something for contact that you would like to give out, Queen Mother, either an email address or a telephone number, just in case someone may want to continue to communicate with you?
Yes, they can contact, that would be Harlem Women, harlemwomen@usa.com. Harlem Women, that's WomenIntl@USA.com. Now, to reach Queen Mother, you would have to call me real early in the morning or late at night. But I do a lot of traveling. Sometime I'm not around. But you can reach out at 212-368-3739, 212-368-3739. But Queen Mother do travel a lot because I'm the community mayor of Harlem and also the ambassador of goodwill to Africa. Sometime annoying to me, I am gone for a minute and then I rush right back. So that happens to me. But yes, please be in touch with us.
Very good. Well, Queen Mother, thank you again. I know this is going to be a busy week for you, and I'm certainly looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday.
Oh, yes, we can't wait to see you and to hear from you what you're proposing and how that could be a part of a greater discussion and also sharing with other women from around the world.
Yes,
and it's
yes.
important that all of us have room at the table to discuss the uniqueness that we all must carry based on the tradition and culture from whence we come from. And so that is also very interesting. As I look at the sisters from India and Pakistan and from Bangladesh, and from wherever they come in, from in the world, there are patterns of mores and culture and tradition from whence they come out of in
mm-hmm.
the struggle of women. And so we have to always calculate that as a part of our discussion, as well as a part of our respect and understanding for women coming from different parts of the world based on their culture, based on their traditions, and based on their mores of how they grew up as women and what mold they actually come out of. And so it's very valuable to hear that from women, you know, whether they're coming from the north, coming from the south, coming from the east, or coming from the west part of the world. It is so refreshing to see the different schools of thought that is brought to the table, and it's highly appreciative that it's brought to the table of understanding, give us a greater understanding of each other.
Wow. Well, I know these past few weeks, or this week and the week coming in, are extremely powerful and certainly will be, you know, very significant in the work that is ahead of us. So, again, I'm certainly looking forward to it. And I thank you again, Queen Mother, for, you know, taking the time to join us tonight. And as I said to our sister earlier, onward we are now positioning ourselves for greater victories.
And we thank you for all the work that you've been doing. And give us a shout-out to Mama Gail for her organizing and bringing the sisters and the brothers to New York, which we really appreciate her. And she's been a part of our mission, is gathering and bringing. And
that's
so
right.
We greatly appreciate that. And that way we go beyond just New York, but also the neighboring states, whether it's Jersey, whether it's Philly, whether it's Maryland, you know, just the neighboring states of the brothers and sisters coming in to join us, Washington, D.C. And we do have them come from the south as far away as Miami. We have some sisters in right now as far away as California. So they come also from around the United States to join us during the 2 weeks that we have in the session. Grassroots women coming from the Deep South and coming from the Midwest, they come up during the time as well to be with us. And the National Council of Women, you have the National Negro Women, you have the different women groups that is in the United States, also is at the UN, Sister to Sister, and you just named the various organizations and clubs and sororities of sisters. They are in. Everybody is, they come in during this time. And so we're very pleased to have this coming together, that women are actually spending time with each other and bumping into each other, so many of us. So it's wonderful to be a part of the energy of the mothers and the daughters and the sisters coming in to deal with what they must deal with to empower themselves.
Right,
and to speak for themselves, as you just stated. You have to speak for yourself, as Queen Mother Moore always said. No one can represent us, but we must represent ourselves.
That's
no
right.
No other women, no other person.
Absolutely.
Can do it. She went to Nairobi, Kenyan conference, World Conference for Women, Queen Mother in Mexico, and Queen Mother was involved with all of the leadership conferences because she lived to be almost 100. And
that's
so
right.
Queen Mother would be one of those that were a part of the movement of women movement. She was very much engaged in a part of it, you know, throughout her life. And
that's
so
right.
This is just a continuation of the legacy of Queen Mother Moore and other great women that has been a part of the struggle and the solutions of women and reflection of women in the movement of women. So this is just a continuation.
Okay. Well, again, I thank you, and I will see you on Wednesday.
Oh, I can't wait to see you women on Wednesday, and you in particular, to share
yes.
with us. Yes, and with women from around the world to hear
yes.
your voice, because it's important that they also hear you and to see you. So we're
yes.
looking
well,
forward.
I have made a commitment, Queen Mother, this being our 16th year, it represents symbolically a level of development and maturity. And so, you know, we are totally committed to making certain that the Mean Woman Movement, it too takes its rightful place in the annals of history and in the world. And so, you know, we are very adamant now about doing that and making certain that people know that the largest gathering in the world was not just a gathering, but in fact the first steps in the development of a global universal movement for all women and girls of African descent. That's what we now bring forward. And it's just, you know, such a wonderful time to be able to do that. You know, we now come, you know, from the shoulders of our ancestors. And with that, while we want to, you know, have camaraderie and build and sisterhood and all of that, at the same time, we are committed and obligated to now bring action steps, you know, solutions, remedies, resolutions, and so forth. I mean, that's the balance of Ma'at that must now be able to come forward in obtaining real justice, you see. And so, you know, we feel so honored that the Mean Woman Movement has been given, you know, that assignment to do, and we're about doing it.
And it's very good that you're saying that. Last night, we are out with the caucus meeting, and the African caucus met, and with
mm-hmm.
all of the other sessions I have to attend as the Queen Mother, I
mm-hmm.
spent some time with them yesterday evening, and one of the things that I brought to their consciousness is Region 6, which will include the women of the diaspora, the women that who we are. And
mm-hmm.
they up to Region 5, and I say it's another region now, which is Region 6, the Africans of the diaspora, the African descendants. And so it was discussed at their caucus meeting last night. Yes, yes. We want to have the sisters at the table with us. So the doors are open. The doors are open with the African sisters of the continent. The continent is
mm-hmm.
waiting
mm-hmm.
for the sisters of the diaspora to join them at the table of the African caucus. So that was very pleasing, you know, to see the sisters were ready to receive us as a part of their dialogue and a part of where they are in their discussion and deliberations at this time as the member states are dealing with consultations and
mm-hmm.
doing what they are doing. But with the language of coming in and the draft documents are being thrown around this week, which that would be the week of what we call the hard work that's going on with the negotiation with the member states and making sure that they are included. It would be wonderful if the women can go out and look at what happened yesterday where the head of the women, United Nations Women Division at the United Nations, Michelle Bachelet, she was a former president of Chile. And one of the most powerful women because she understands also the liberation movement as a woman. And she opened it up at our historical ceremonial International Day for us to talk to each other and to have not what we call a monologue, but a dialogue. And if you go out, it was live stream, but I'm sure you could find the International Day ceremony that we had from 10 to 12 on March the 8th. So I would like for the women to go out and take a look and hear what is going on and what I raise to the consciousness coming from the elders to be brought at the table at that as a part of an intervention at the ceremonial International Day for Women. And so go out and hear some of the deliberations that have taken place all of last week as well, but particularly March the 8th.
All right. Well, family, we have come down to our last few minutes, and again, we want to thank Queen Mother for joining us this evening, bringing us this great information, and also for Sister Njiba from the AAPRP. We thank her as well. We are down to our last few minutes, and we thank all of you for taking the time to hang out with us tonight, to, you know, be a part of the energy that's flowing, and certainly we know that it is moving us forward. Again, Queen Mother, thank you so much, and I will see you later on this week.
I can't wait.
All right. All right, family. Again, we are down to our last few minutes, and as we're leaving out, we want to, of course, leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep as we move forward for power, prosperity, and peace. But remember, there can be no real peace unless there is truly Ma'at, justice. There can be no real Hotep peace unless there is truly justice, Ma'at. And so this is what we strive for, this is what we must have, and we will not stop until it is obtained fully. So, what we're going to do now is remind you that you can communicate with us. And with that said, nationalmwm@aol.com or area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Until next time, this is Empress Chi, and we look forward to having you join us next week. Same time, same location. We'll be here live and in living color. Peace out.